All right, how many of you forgot the time change? Listen, how many forgot the time change? An old friend of mine one time, he forgot it, and he was the lead singer, and he went to church, and he was so mad at everybody for not coming. It was the other way around. They were going to come an hour later. He started without them. Come on, somebody. They say that tomorrow there is an increase in numbers of wrecks because of this, above the average. So drive carefully in the morning. All right, John chapter 15. We're doing a series called Together, and it says, "This is my command, love one another the way I loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from my Father." Now look at it in another translation, in the New Living Translation. "This is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master does not confide in his slaves. Now you are my friend since I have told you everything the Father told me." And we're talking today about together, and that's the theme of this theme that we're in. And we're seeing how much life is so much better when and so much more productive when you do it together. And so I'm going to talk about friendships today, and not just friendships, but covenant friendships. And a covenant means a solemn agreement between two parties for the purpose of creating and maintaining a successful relationship. So let's take a minute and let's pray. Father, we ask you today to open our hearts, our lives. Lord, we thank you for letting our ears hear and our eyes see. Lord, open our hearts that we can know it, Lord, the truth, and the truth will set us free in so many areas of our lives. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen today. Amen. So go ahead and be seated if you would. I want to play a clip for you. This is from a church outside of Boulder, Colorado. It's called Flatiron Community Church. And it's a cowboy. I won't say it's a cowboy church, but you'll kind of see it's sort of kind of. And I love this because they did a series on fellowship and on friendship. And this was a kickoff, and they had their music team work up some songs that will be familiar to you. So watch this, all right? Watch this.
Again, and thinking about where we're going with our third value, which is simply called authentic community, that's ultimately just about having real friendships. I started thinking about what song would be really helpful in getting our minds going in that direction. And honestly, there were so many to choose from, and a lot of them range from a little sappy to overwhelmingly cheesy. So where to begin? I mean, you could start with James Taylor.
You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running from you to see you again.
Come on, sing it if you know it.
To spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got a friend.
Man, you guys sound good this morning. Could get really sentimental and harken back to one of the best, most long-standing friendships we know of between two people who've really been through thick and thin together, Woody and Buzz.
You got
show with Dionne Warwick.
Keep smiling, keep shining. No, you can't always count on me. For sure, that's what friends are for. For good times and bad times, I'll be on your side forevermore. That's what friends are for.
So you see the challenge that was before us. There's not many songs about friendship that aren't just overwhelmingly just sappy. And I got to be honest with you guys today. I have to make a big confession before you today because I've known you guys for so long. I love you guys so much. I feel like I just need to be honest with you guys. I've stood on this stage many times and disparaged country music. And I have to tell you, I've been listening to country music. So actually, the second time in my life, the first time was when I was working on a farm in Kentucky one summer, so it felt justified. This time, I'm not really sure what the reasoning is. I don't know if it's just that I'm getting a little bit older, I'm feeling a little more sentimental. I had another kid, but as we were thinking about where we're going this weekend, there was a country song that stood out.
Ditch way out in the middle of nowhere. Get yourself in the bottles and shirt off your back. Need a floor, need a couch, need a bus fare. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the cream is gonna rise. This is what you did me down. This is where the truth is. You find out who your friends are. Somebody's gonna drop everything. Run out of drink of their car. Hit the gas, get there fast. And stop to think what's in me. There is a way too far. It just show my guard. With the big one, you find out who your friends are. Take your hand when you're up on top of that mountain. But when one of those rocks get away, then you start back down, look up and see who's around there. This ain't where the road comes to an end. This ain't where the bend away stops. This is just one of those times when you find out who your friends are. Somebody's gonna drop everything. Run out of crank up their car. Hit the gas, get there fast. And stop the thing what's in for me. There is a way too far. We just show on the road. With a big heart. Find out who your friends are. With the weather's not so fair, with the weather's dry. You find out who your friends are. Somebody's gonna drop everything. Run and crank up their car. Hit the gas, get there fast. Don't stop to think what's in me. It's a way too far. They just show up with a big heart. Find out who your friends are. Find out who your friends are. Run your car up the side of the road. Get stuck in a ditch way out in the middle of nowhere. Men up in the road.
Oh, you can clap. Go ahead, clap. Hey, and those of you that are offended, we took out, what was the name of the song? Low Friends. What's the name of that song? Friends in Low Places. We took that one out. So just so if you're offended, we took out about four of them. So we'll leave it there. And we're going to talk about friends today and what kind of friends you've got in your life. The thesis of this lesson really is that most friendships fail. Most friendships fail. Think about all the friends you've had in your life. Just think back in your life of the friends you've had that's no longer friends. Not that there's maybe any animosity between you, but you're just not friends anymore. And most friendships fail because of our lack of commitment to them. Not because of some problem or some, anger that we had or an issue or cheating or whatever, or lying. Most friendships fail because of lack of commitment. The goal of the lesson is then to raise the commitment level of your friendships. And you're not going to have a lot of these in your life. God's put into your life a handful of people that you move from convenient friendships to covenant friendships. That is, remember, a covenant is based on mutual trust. A contract is based on mutual distrust. That's why you sign a contract. You sign a contract because here's what we're going, I don't want you to cheat me and I don't want to cheat you. So a contract is always based on mutual distrust. And a marriage is not a contract. A marriage is a covenant. That's why the Bible calls it a covenant. We trust each other and we're based on that, So friendships are important to all of us. I grew up in a home where there was unconditional love. I've got to say my mom and dad were fantastic. They loved us. They were not dysfunctional. But when I pastored my first Baptist church, I was a Baptist pastor in town over on Old Hammond Highway back in the early 70s. And I had a rude awakening of what, how you deal with people, because I never understood, the dysfunction that can happen in people's lives and how they grew up. And it, no fault of their own, it's just how they were raised. And so they live that way. And, I gotta be honest with you, when I first started pastoring, there were some people, they were just mean. They were saved, but they were, you ever know anybody that like it? They were saved, but they were mean. The good news is they're going to heaven. The bad news is they weren't going soon enough. Come on, somebody. So I know that there are high maintenance people that literally come into your life. So when we talk about friendships, what happens a lot of times, we think about almost immediately people we don't want to be friends with. When I talk about a friendship, we think about people, I don't want to be a friend. There's people pops up in your brain. I don't want to be a friend with them. Les Perot wrote a book on high maintenance people. And I want to read off the list of names that he called certain classes of people. And as I go through that, I want to do a survey, because every time I'm going to ask you, do you know somebody like this? All right. So he's got a category for certain different high maintenance people. So here we go. Number one person he talks about is the critic. That's a person that constantly complains and gives unwanted advice. How many know somebody like that? The critic, all right? Number of you. The way some people complain, you think they get paid for it. Come on, somebody. The second one is the martyr. They're forever the victim. They're racked with self-pity. Nobody knows the trouble they've seen. How many know somebody like that? You know somebody like that. All right, the wet blanket. This is a person that's pessimistic and automatically negative. When they go to heaven, they're going to find dust on the streets of heaven and complain about the dust. How many know somebody like that? You know, the wet blanket. All right, what about the steamroller? The blindly insensitive to others. He is a bull in a china closet. He runs over you and doesn't even know he run over you or ran over you. How many know somebody like that? All right, you know somebody. All right, the gossip. Spreads rumors, leaks secrets. How many know somebody like that? All right. The control freak, unable to let go and let be. How many know somebody as a control freak? All right, the backstabber, irrepressibly two-faced. How many know somebody like the backstabber, all right? The cold shoulder, disengages, avoids contact. Anybody know somebody like that, all right? Some of you getting tired of raising your hands. Number nine, the green-eyed monster, seized with envy. How many know somebody the green-eyed monster style? All right, the volcano builds up steam and just ready to erupt. How many know somebody like the volcano? They just erupt. You say, what did we do? Number 11, the sponge, constantly in need but gives nothing back. How many know somebody like that? The last one is the competitor, always keeping score. You caught a fish, you caught a bigger fish. You did this, you built a better house. How many know somebody like the competitor spirit, all right? Now, I'm giving you all these high maintenance people because I know what's happening to you when I'm saying this. Faces are coming up in your mind. You're in a hot air balloon. Come on, somebody. You're about 30 feet in the air, and you're between 40 and 41 degrees north latitude and between 59 and 60 degrees west longitude. And the man in the balloon looks at her and says, "You must be an engineer." And she said, "I am. How did you know I'm an engineer?" He said, "Well," he says, "everything you told me was technically correct, but I have no idea what to make of the information you just gave me. Frankly, you've not been a help to me at all. In fact, I'm still lost. In fact, you've delayed my trip." The woman looks up at the man in the balloon and says, "You must be in management." He said, "I am. How did you know?" She said, "Well," she says, "you don't know where you're going and you don't know where you are." Come on, somebody. "And you are where you are due to a large quantity of hot air. You made a promise that you have no idea how to keep, and you expect people beneath you to solve your problems. The fact is, you're exactly in the same place where you were before we met, but now somehow it's my fault." Come on, somebody. I used to be able to jump. I don't jump anymore like that. I step. You know, one of the keys about, we've all met people just like that. We've met people that, have situations in their life. They have problems communicating with people. You know, hurting people hurt people. This latest school shooting shows that to be absolutely true. And what happens is we all are hurting, but there's a tendency to pull back and be negative and not to want to be in friendships. And one of the reasons we're doing small groups is for the purpose of friendships, to bring you into friendship, not with 1,000 people, but with a small group of people that you can begin to know. And somewhere along the line, God's going to connect you with friends. Listen, it doesn't matter to me if you got 3,000 Facebook friends and you don't know one of them intimately. That doesn't count. And literally, but God will put into your life a handful of people that you can go into covenant friendship with and trust them. There's a real tendency to base our friendships and relationships on convenience rather than on covenant. And let me just say this. There are three levels of friendships. One is surface friendships. That's where people you see once in a great while and you know them. You ever been around somewhere and you knew that person from somewhere, where they were the grocery store clerk, or they might have worked in somewhere else, or you just know them from somewhere. You just can't remember where you knew them from. And, and it's just surfaced friendships. One of the biggest things, I used to live in Virginia, and when I moved down here 40 some years ago, one of the things that really got me was when people said, "Hey, let's get together." Well, I learned real quickly that doesn't mean nothing. That's just what you say in the South. Hey, let's get together. Hey, let's get together. And because second kind of relationships are structured. That's where, like, guys at work or women at work, you know them because it's a structured situation, or soccer games, and you're in the same team. And so you get to know people because, you live somewhat life together. But the third type and level is solid and secure friendships. And that's friendships where literally it goes from convenience to covenant. We're no longer based on mutual distrust, but mutual trust. And it's much deeper in relationships. And each one of us will have very few relationships like that in our life. I remember when we flooded back here that day, and a couple years ago almost. And I remember that somebody in here in the church, a friend of mine, without even asking, he came and said, "I know you need money. And he loaned me an amount of money, not signing anything, no interest. Whenever you can, pay me back." Come on, somebody. And I'm going to tell you, when that happens in your life, you say, how do I deserve a friend like that, that literally will be? And so have you ever thought, how do I do that? How do I develop friendships? And you know what I'm saying? The place that God wants to move us is literally from convenient to covenant, and covenant friendship. The Bible says and talks about that type. And let me give you a few things the Bible teaches about it. Number one is, few friends are really true friends. Few friends are really true friends. Proverbs 18 and 24 says it this way. Friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks by you like family. If you quit listening, I don't know what that means. I don't know that's part of it. Friends come and friends go. I don't know where that part came from. The book of Revelation says if you add to these words, God will add. You remember, yeah, how many of you ever saw Anna Green Gable? Anybody saw Anna Green Gable? You remember when she talks about a bosom friend? You know, you got a bosom friend, and that was one of the, you know, your best friend of your whole life. And so it says, friends come, friends go. Look at the look at Proverbs 17. Friends love through all kinds of weather, and families stick together in all kinds of trouble. Friends love through all kinds of weather, even when the lights go out on you in here. Number two is, friends will speak truth to you. Friends will speak truth to you. Proverbs 27, the wounds from a lover are worth it. Kisses from an enemy do you in. The wounds from a lover or a friend, literally, are good. The wounds from a friend are worth it. Kisses from an enemy do you in. Number three, friends refresh us. I don't know if you ever had a friend refresh you, but a friend can refresh you. Proverbs 27 says, just as lotions and fragrance give sensual delight, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul. And so one of the keys I learned about my life is I am either a plus or a minus in everybody's life that I'm around. I'm either a plus or a minus to everybody. I'm either a plus or minus to my wife, Jasmine. I'm either a plus or minus to my kids. I'm either a plus or a minus to my staff. I'm either a plus or minus to people I run into day by day. I've learned that I'm either a plus or a minus. Every day I'm either adding value to them, lifting them up to a higher level, or every day I'm pulling them down and subtracting from their life. You know, certain people you run into, they just suck the life out of you. Other people that you run into, they just uplift you. I know that none of you do this, but when your phone rings, you look down a bit and you see who it is and you decide, I'm not home right now. I know none of you do that. Nobody looks at your phone and decides, I'm not home right now. There's other times you'll be in a meeting and your phone will vibrate or ring and you'll look down and you say, excuse me, I got to step out. I need to take this call. And the reason is, listen, why aren't you home right now? Because they subtract from your life. We're either a plus or a minus. And so one of the keys about your life is, I'll never forget this. I had a buddy of mine in college, and I'll never forgot. We were in engineering. We were electrical engineering at Virginia Tech. And we were going through, I don't know how many of you, when you went to college, we were very smart, da-da-da, and we made the dean's list. But there were situations where I remember the first time I ever came up against something I could not understand no matter how much I studied it. So I don't know if you've ever gone to that but or not, because you think if I just study enough, I can get it. But there was something in electrical engineering I just couldn't get. I tried. I just could not grasp what it was. And I remember I finally grasped it. And my buddy, I was in a hurry doing some stuff. And my roommate, he was the town's son of the doctor. And I'd lived with them for 6 months before we went to college together. We roomed together. And I didn't help him. I remember thinking that I didn't help him. He needed help on the same thing, and I didn't help him. And he kind of flunked out of the course and just wrote the course off. But I still remember where I could have added value to him. Now he owns a big Dodge dealership. He's rich. Come on, somebody. So don't worry. Don't fret about him now. He's doing very well in life. And but I remember just that time I could have helped him. I didn't help him. And we're either adding to people's lives or we're subtracting. And if you're going to have a covenant friendship, you're going to have to be intentional about it. And you got to be somebody that adds and not subtracts, because we're naturally selfish. So let me give you the fourth thing the Bible teaches is that friends sharpen one another. You use steel to sharpen steel, and one friend sharpens it. I mean, there's nothing like having a friend say, I don't agree with you. What do you mean? I thought everybody's supposed to agree with me. No, I don't agree with you. I don't think it's right. I don't think you ought to be doing that. I think you ever had a friend say, I don't think you ought to talk to your wife like that. Oh, it's quiet in this Baptist church. All right. I don't think you ought to talk to your husband like that. I think you're being disrespectful. And listen, you use steel to sharpen steel, and one friend will sharpen another friend. And if you really want to get some people in your life that will speak truth into your life in love, but they will speak truth and not just be a yes man in you. You need some people that say, I don't agree with that. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's the way to go. I don't think what you're doing. And so the Bible talks about four things that covenant friendships brings to our life. It sharpens you. It refreshes you. Speaks truth to you. It sticks with you through thick and thin. And would you like friends like that? All right, if you want friends like that, there's a law that you need to understand. Now, listen very carefully. If you want friends like that, Here is how you get them. It's called the law of magnetism, because who you attract who you are, not who you want. You attract who you are, not who you want. We all want friends that will sharpen. We all want friends that will refresh us. We all want friends that will sharpen. We all want that type of friend. But the way you get that type of friend is you become that type of friend. And then the law of magnetism is a law of the universe. You will attract that. In seminars, they have business seminars. If you've ever been through one and you own a business, what they do is they ask a business guy, what kind of employees do you want? He said, I want honest. I want hardworking. I want truthful. I want da-da-da. He goes down the list. And then after he gets done listing what he wants, here's what the guy conducting the seminar will say. Is that you? Is that you? You want on? Are you honest in your business? Do you want somebody hard? Are you hardworking? You want somebody? Is that you? So the key comes back is about your life is that you? Is that who you are? Because who you are is who you will attract. Birds of a feather. So who you are is who you will attract in your life. So if you want to know what you're like, just look around at your friends. That's you. Oh, no, 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 no. How many know mamas have eyes in the back of their heads? How many understand that? They can see and know, and they know who you've been with, where you've been. They know when you've been with somebody that. Because who your friends are is who you are. Because you attract who you are. And so the law of magnetism, let me give you this. Number one is being the right person. That's the key. A covenant friendship begins with you becoming who you want to be instead of changing that person of who you want to be. Covenant friendships do not begin with fixing someone else and getting them to raise their commitment. You fix yourself first. That begins the right relationships. And so when you begin to do that, I remember in a marriage conference we were in one time, and a couple was on the stage, and they were asked, does your husband make you happy? And the wife said, no. How many would like that, be sitting up there with the husband and said, no? And so she said, let me explain. She said, the first 6 months of our marriage, I expected my husband to make me happy. How many know that's a dead industry? Come on, somebody. And she said, I realized after 6 months of marriage that I took responsibility for my own happiness. And she said, when I took responsibility for my own happiness, he added immeasurable happiness to my life. But I didn't wait for him. He's not my all in all. Only Jesus is your all in all. So you begin to understand this. So be the right. It starts with you. Be the right person. And the way to do that is committing time and energy. Number two is committing time and energy. And that's why those of you that are joining a small group, you're doing it. You're committing energy, time and energy to be a part of a small group. And it's tough getting out and getting back out, especially when it's raining. How many know there's a lot of people in bed right now watching us? Come on, somebody. And every once in a while, the rain just soothes them back to sleep and they wake back up. But becoming, it takes time and energy to do that. You know, I love this phrase I saw the other day was, the days are long, but the years are short. Did you hear that? The days are long, but the years are short. Do you know what that means? Like today, man, you got up, you had to brush your teeth and come to church and drive in the rain and da-da-da. Now you got to go back home. And so the days seem long, but you blink and the years have gone by. Like the years are just, but every day seems long. Every day seems, and so what I've learned to do is you can know what, you can know your future because the Bible says what you sow, you'll reap. So you can know your future. There's absolutely certainty. You can know your future. And that is just look at what you're sowing today. That's going to be your future. So the days are long, but the years are short. The days are long, but the years are short. And so every day, take commitment, take time if you want to. You know, it's like this dating. You remember when you were dating, nothing was too good for your spouse, for your girlfriend or boyfriend. If they, you know, like, can I open the door? Let me open the door for you. Let me do it. Let me put my coat on you. Or like this, when you get a call from the person you're dating. I'm sorry, honey, but I know you're in Central right now, but I left all the dry cleaning over in South Baton Rouge at the, and I can't, can you please go get it? And when you're dating, you go, Oh, absolutely. I know it's 5 o'clock. It'll take me 2.5 hours to go from Central back on. But I don't care. I'll miss my workout. Babe, I'll do anything for you. And about a few years into your marriage, the same scenario. What's wrong with you? Is your leg broken? You know the way. You know the way the cleaners. Well, I know the way the cleaners. Say the years. Listen, the days are long, but the years are short. And so you move from covenant to convenience. Never allow your life to move from covenant to convenient. And you do that in marriage. You can do that in friendships. You can do that where you have friendships. Just listen. You need to always remember: days are long, but the years are short. And God's desire for your life. Let me wrap it up by saying God has two desires for each person in this place today. Number one is He wants you to have friendships with others. And I'm not talking with 1,000 other people and 3,000 people on Facebook. I'm talking about a handful of people God wants you to have a friendship with. He's designed us for that. He looked at Adam and said it was not good for him to be without, by alone. And he wanted a friendship with him. And God created relationships. My mom went into hospice yesterday. And so she's only got a little bit of time left to live. And I'll be going up there this week sometime up north. But my mom, we moved her 2 years ago when we flooded. My mom and dad, you see them, they always made it about halfway through this, just about becoming into service right now. If you remember the days gone by, one day we had a big school function going on. And I remember my mom just walked out of the house without my dad knowing it. And, she had her curls in her hair. She had a bathrobe on, and, Sue came and got me and said, "Your mom's in the school meeting." I said, "She is, is she?" So I come in here. They gave her a place of honor right on the front row. Come on, somebody. So I walked in right before everything kicked off and the place was full. I said, "Hey, Mom, what you doing?" She said, I come to church. I want to hear some preaching." I said, "Well, not going to be preaching today, Mom. Come on, let's go back over." I took her, got her back over, put her back in her chair. Dad never knew she'd been gone. Come on, somebody. So we flooded. Mom and Dad flooded. And we took them up north and... my mom has dementia. Many of you know my dad started picking up, but my dad passed away some months ago. And, my mom, we put her in a dementia place that was one of the nicest places, but I'll never forget because when I got her in, got everything set, we were sitting there about to go and, she has a lucid moment all of a moment. And she looked at me and she said, "Don't leave me in this place. All of you been there, right?" And so in the moment it was gone. But you know what helped? An elderly lady, walked over and just sat right beside her and put her arm around her. Come on, somebody. And I mean, that made all the difference. Next thing you know, I would go away. I got a friend. And I remember I had a buddy of mine who had a 90-year-old dad, and he'd been married 66 years. And his wife of 66 years passed away. And the kids, the dad, they were worried about him at home, and he didn't want to live with any of them. He just decided, "I'm going to go live in an assisted living area." So there was, just so happened at that moment, there was being built only a few blocks from his house, a brand new assisted living. And so they go down and they sign him up to be a part of it. And every day, you should have seen his dad, he was still driving. Come on, somebody, 90 years old. And he would walk down, a couple blocks to the place, and he would talk to the workers. "Hey, guys." He missed a relationship. He knew them all by name. "Do a good job. I'm moving in right here. I want a good job. I don't want this, the roof falling. I don't want the walls. I don't want no cracks. Do a good job." And every day he'd go back and forth. And I talked to his Sunday son. He said, "One day I went over there, and my dad said, 'Yeah, I talked to the owner was there.' And I talked to him. He's going to let me move in first. I'm going to be the first person to move in." And he said, "Why?" And here's what his dad said. "Well, a lot of old people are going to be moving into this place." And he said, "You know how old people are." He said, "They get nervous and scared and they don't know what they're doing." And he said, "I ask if I could move in first so that I could be at the door when every one of them comes in. And I could shake them and give them a big hug and say, 'I'm going to be your best friend in this place.'" And they, come on, somebody. Isn't that great? And one of the best things I could ever tell you to do, why don't you be the first one to move in today? Small group starting up, why don't you be the first one to move in? There's a lot of people coming. There'll be a little, cautious and all. Won't you be the first one to move in? And one of the keys in life is you just realize that literally God wants to do, listen, maturity doesn't always come with age. Sometimes age just comes by itself. Come on, somebody. Did you catch that? Maturity doesn't always come with age. Age sometimes just comes all by itself. Because this fella said to his dad, isn't it great the older you get, the more you just love people? And my mother, I'm going to tell you, my mother, all of you got to know her later in life. My mother, you're talking about toe the line. I mean, she'd whip us with three switches, not just one switch. And if there's anything, I mean, we had four boys and one girl. And how many ever got a whipping in your life? How many got about 1,000 whippings in your life? That was me. And if you got whipped at school, you got whipped a second whipping when you got home. And, but you know, when she did get old, she just started, my mom turned into the sweetest person, just loving and sweet. And we said, who is this person that we've met here? But you know, my mom, we were up there and every time I go visit her, she'd be laying hands on people, praying for people, counseling people, rebuking people. My dad stood up one time in the cafeteria and rebuked the whole group of them because they burned his toast. Come on, somebody. He told them he was a Korean War veteran and he deserved better than burnt toast. And so he was letting them know. But you know one of the big things about it? Why don't you be the first one to move in? Why don't you be the first one to stand there at the door and greet the new people when they come in? Or when you go in, don't be bashful. Go love them. And this is a song called... Friends. What's his last song?
Yeah.
why don't you be the first one to move in? Why don't you be the first one to just make up your mind? I'm going to love people. I'm going to have God who God wants to bring into my life, some close covenant friendships in my life. I love this. The last part is that God wants a covenant relationship with everybody. You know that God wants to be your friend. I love this, what it says in John. It said, the word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. Can I tell you, the Bible says that we love because he first loved us. He moved in first. He stands at the door. The Bible says that he stands at the door. And I'm going to tell you, when you go through that doorway of friendship, he's standing. He's not way over in the living room. He's not in the kitchen. He's not back in the bed. He stands at the door to welcome you because he loves you. And a lot of people ask, how could God love me? I don't have a clue. I'm honest. I don't have a clue. I just know that he does. He loves you. And so this morning, I want you just to bow your heads, would you? And maybe you're here and you've never gone into a friendship with God like that. You've never known that he moved into the neighborhood first, and he stands at the door waiting for you to come in. And he will tell you, I will be your best friend you've ever had in your life. I'll no longer call you a slave. I'll tell you everything my father's told me. I'll call you my friend. So Lord, this morning, we just ask you for everyone in here that they've never really become the friend of God. I just ask you, Lord, would you let the invitation that you've given, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him. So, Lord, we thank you right now for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but the love of God shed abroad in hearts. I pray, God, that you would let your love just overwhelm the person that feels so unlovely and unworthy of any type of relationship with you. Right now, Lord, touch their life, we ask you. And if that's you and you want to know not a God of legalistic and right and wrong and all that, if you want to know a God that loved you, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If you want to know a God like that, all you have to do is say, God, I want to know you. God, I want to thank you for dying in my place. I want to thank you for taking all of my sin away from me by carrying it on your own body on the cross. And you that knew no sin, you became sin that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And if that's you this morning, I want you just to pray. Let's everybody help them pray. You just repeat after me, and everybody's going to repeat together with you. And all you do, the Bible says, all that ask, he'll in no wise turn away. So everybody say, dear God, I want to be your friend. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying in my place. Lord, I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of all my sin. Give me righteousness. Make me a relationship with you, Lord. I love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Give the Lord a good clap offering this morning if you would. All right. God bless you. We'll see you in small groups today. And if you've not signed up yet, take that little pamphlet, look it over, and just decide which one you want to be a part of. God bless you. We'll see you next week.